Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has experienced teams who can craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex. Real wealth requires real solutions. Connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com.
The FT.
Some light drizzle rudely interrupted this column's annual foray to the south of France to view the wondrous cultural phenomenon that is Stanislas Wawrinka's topspin backhand at the Monte Carlo Masters. But help was at hand. The splendour of the Hotel Negresco on Nice's Promenade des Anglais. The unmistakable pink-domed edifice is one of the region's landmarks and seemed the perfect haven in which to spend a languorous hour waiting for the sunshine to reassert itself. I was even ready to overlook the hotel's weirdly ungrammatical slogan, Made in French Riviera, in exchange for a high-end cappuccino and some shelter from the storm. Turns out grammar was the least of my problems. I went to the reception area, in which a kind staff member directed me to the hotel's brasserie, La Rotonde. I jogged round the corner, only to be met by a dark-voiced Charybdis guarding her dominion with improbable zeal. Fermé, she snapped. It was 11 o'clock in the morning. Impossible, I retorted, as I pointed to the dormant crocodile of my Lacoste shirt, de rigueur in these parts, and mimed that I was here for Stanislas Wawrinka's backhand, which made next to no impression, and may even have looked like an attempt at assault. I trudged away, but found fresh hope in spying another imposing building next door, the Villa Massena, complete with its own museum. I poked my head round the corner. Was there a café in the extremely large house? The attendant looked at me as if I had asked him to split the atom with me on the beach across the road. A ticket? He asked, pseudo-helpfully. No, a coffee. We stared at each other for a while. I may have said something unprintable, and certainly ungrammatical. Coffee notwithstanding, I asked him if he had a brochure that explained what was in the museum. A contemptuous shrug of the shoulders, and a curt non. The crocodile and I left the house and walked forlornly away, unloved, unwanted. They took me by surprise, these sullen reactions. I guess the seemingly inelastic demand for luxury hotels means that they can afford to behave imperiously. Indeed, it may be that they are one of the last bastions of shamelessly non-democratic behaviour in a world that is filling itself with a brand of nouvelle richesse that was not even dreamt of just a couple of decades ago. But a place of culture? Not to be chauvinistic, but it is, in my experience, inconceivable for an arts institution in Britain today to behave with anything that smacks of high-handedness. Such has been the near-obsessive concern with the democratisation and accessibility of culture in recent years that it is almost taken for granted. Here is what we now expect: coffee bars, souvenir shops, outreach programmes, interactive spaces, digital strategies, and a degree of politesse, yes, a French word, among customer service staff that is mostly a genuine pleasure to behold. Far from making visitors feel uncomfortable, it's the job of today's cultural institution to reach out to them in new ways. On June the 3rd, there will be a live broadcast to about 100 UK cinemas, as well as 30 worldwide, of Tate Modern's new blockbuster exhibition, Henri Matisse, The Cutouts, following similar initiatives based on the National Gallery's 2012 Leonardo exhibition and last year's British Museum show on Pompeii. When you reach out, people reach back in unpredictable ways. The promotional trailer by the BM on its current Vikings exhibition is being satirised, I learnt this week, by the Reclaim Shakespeare Company, an environmental group which objects to the show's sponsorship by BP. Mildly embarrassing for the company and the museum, but terrific for the rest of us to see important ethical debates bursting out into new and lively forums that can be freely accessed by millions. It's the sign of a robust and confident cultural landscape. It was only a matter of time, of course, before artists began to comment on this very relationship between the public and private domains of culture. the latest piece of street art by Banksy, Mobile Lovers, which appeared in a doorway near Bristol's Broad Plain Boys Club earlier this month, has been the subject of a fascinating tussle between the club and the City Council, which has installed it in the Bristol City Museum. Where does it really belong? Will it end up in an auction house? Banksy is keeping his counsel, understanding that the proprietorial riddles he sets us are a far more sophisticated comment on the world than the rather trite points he makes in the artworks themselves. When art bleeds into the streets, it asks the most important questions of all. Whom should culture belong to? What is it trying to say to us? And where can I get a coffee while I think about it?
For more downloads, go to ft.com/podcasts.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has experienced teams who can craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex. Real wealth requires real solutions. Connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com.